This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Thursday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 4-hour supersonic soul train line. DA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border, Anchorage to Atlanta, Reno to Roanoke, Kalamazoo and Waterloo. We are on the air.
They listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times. Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7. That's rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. Thanks for being with us, everybody. Good show coming up for you this morning. Coming up later on in the program, in the final hour, we'll do Forgotten Classics every Thursday here on the show. We've gone back over a regular season game or a playoff game that has not gotten the run it deserves historically. We've looked at some awesome squads, awesome moments, awesome games that just for whatever reason have been forgotten by the sands of time. We've looked at that awesome opening day 1994 Bledsoe-Marino shootout with Bill Zimfer, former voice of the Dolphins. The highest scoring NBA game ever, 1983 Nuggets and Pistons with longtime Pistons broadcaster George Blaha. We've gone back over some of the moments that people that were in the arena will never forget, but people that weren't tend to overlook, and today that continues. Do you remember Corey Brewer's 51? Yes, that Corey Brewer. In 2014, Corey Brewer exploded for 51 points over the Rockets. His previous career high had been 29. Nobody in the building that night ever expected Brewer to go for more than 50. It is one of the great unsung regular season individual performances in recent NBA lore. We'll talk to the voice of the Timberwolves, who was on that call, Dave Benz, for Forgotten Classics coming up here later on in the show. Also this morning, in 20 minutes from now, we look into Baker Mayfield's, quote, new attitude. Can we trust him this time around? And in 40 minutes, this date in mothership history. We'll also hear the audio of Michael Jordan caught in a Last Dance lie coming up in an hour from now. Fourth and 15 might be losing steam. We'll discuss that with the NFL vote coming up this week. And the NBA players might want to save their own summers instead of coming back for the playoffs. All of that coming up this morning on the show. And could this be a breaking point for the Power Five in college football? So a big big morning here on the DA Show. Also sprinkled in with your latest and greatest bits and gimmicks as well, like Stunt to a News, Sound Check, and Advanced Analytics plus your epic fail. But let's begin with Major League Baseball, because late last night, Max Scherzer, who is one of the union reps in Major League Baseball, went on a Twitter screed against the owners. Now, Scherzer is one of the best pitchers in baseball. Scherzer is a defending World Series champion. And so Scherzer's words hold some weight. And unfortunately, if you are a baseball fan and you are looking forward to baseball returning, not so fast, because Scherzer may be speaking for a lot of the players. He's one of only eight players on Major League Baseball's Players Association Executive Subcommittee. So that's a pretty significant spot that he owns in the union, one of eight players on an executive subcommittee. Scherzer tweeted late last night, after discussing the latest developments with the rest of the players, there's no reason to engage with baseball in any further compensation reductions. We have previously negotiated a pay cut in the version of prorated salaries, and there's no justification to accept a second pay cut based upon the current information the union has received. I'm glad to hear other players voicing the same viewpoint and believe MLB's economic strategy would completely change if all documentation were to become public information. The players have countered, and they have said instead of an 82-game proposal or an 80-game proposal like we've heard about, let's look at 100 games. Let's play more games. But the owners don't want more games, at least what they're saying publicly or privately to their baseball writers who are writing about it publicly, is that they are worried that a season that drags later on to the fall could put them at risk for another outbreak, and then they'd have to cancel the end of the postseason, and that's where they would make most of their television money. So there's a lot of distrust here. The other day, Major League Baseball proposed, okay, how about a sliding scale here? The players that make the most money take the biggest haircut. The players that make the least amount of money take less of a haircut. And that way, everybody's still making good cash. If you're on this lower end of the salary spectrum, you'll keep most of your cash. If you're Mike Trout or Bryce Harper, you're still making good money, but we're going to basically tax you because you're in a higher tax bracket more than anybody else. It has led to this. And so let's begin here with Max Scherzer's tweet last night. In terms of where baseball is right now, does this prove that the league is in serious trouble of not having a season at all? It is where we begin your cold open.
I am well aware of how this looks at the general public. It makes the players look terrible, make them look greedy. But at the end of the day, it's a business, and these are business moves, and these are players trying to get what they feel like they deserve. And what they were promised in spring training with an agreement that was made that this would be a prorated salary. You play half a season, you get half of your salary that you signed for.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
So that was Will Middlebrooks on JR Sports Brief here on CBS Sports Radio. And I want to establish how I feel about these two sides before I get into my take about this. In terms of the owners, I don't believe they're fully transparent about their incomes. I don't believe that the owners have fostered a trustworthy reputation for the players, and the owners bear a responsibility here of a season on the brink. And I also believe if the season goes down the toilet and these two sides don't get their asses in gear, it is going to have a painful long-term effect for this league. I don't think this is the type of thing that you get over in 3 to 5 years as a baseball fan. I don't know if you can ever recover to where it would have been if you did play. I don't want to say it's forever, that forever baseball takes a backseat and that's it, because I can't talk forever. Who knows about forever? Things have changed dramatically over the course of these last 3 months, so who is to say what anything is for forever? But it is going to be a significant problem and a dent for baseball for the foreseeable future if they don't play here this season. And from a player standpoint, I understand the distrust and a toxic atmosphere, and the Baseball Association, the union, is saying, hey, I thought we talked about money already. Why are we still talking about money? We did this in March. But I want this clear. I don't believe the players have taken a pay cut here. I think that is a loose interpretation of the phrase pay cut. What they've been handed and agreed to is a shorter work week. That's not the same. And when I hear Will Middlebrooks or anybody else in the union, baseball players, say, well, we've already agreed to a pay cut. That's not a pay cut. They're telling you you get a prorated portion of your salary for the games played. So if there's only half a season, you get half your salary. That's akin to my bosses telling me, DA, we're going to have you on 2 days a week instead of 5 days a week, and you'll get paid 40% of your salary. That's just a reduced work week. That's not necessarily the same as a pay cut. A pay cut is, DA, we want you to work 5 days a week, and we're nicking down your original salary to 40% of what it was, or 60% of what it was, which is what is happening to many Americans in this climate. There's many of you that are dealing with reduced work weeks. There are many of you dealing with furloughs. There are many of you dealing with shifts that have been cut. But that's different than a salary reduction. And baseball players serving that up, I don't believe. I don't buy that. Because hypothetically, okay, they say you only have to play 50% of your schedule and you'll get 50% of your pay. Well, hypothetically, you could get another job for the other 50% of your day. And you might say, DA, that's unrealistic. Okay, Bryce Harper isn't going to go out and become a waiter at Applebee's. Fair, but you know what? Most Americans have to do that. Most other everybody else has had to do that. And players used to have to do that. You know, when you go back before salaries exploded to tens of millions of dollars and even just millions of dollars, baseball players on the offseason and other professional athletes had to figure out, hey, what else am I doing for income here? Because I only work half the year. Right now, you're not being asked to report to work. Yeah, you're supposed to work out and keep healthy, but you're not working. So why should you be getting paid for not working? I don't understand that part of this equation from baseball players. If baseball players want to say, hey, I thought we had a clause here that said we were not going to renegotiate if there were no fans in the stands, that's one thing, and that is a sticking point here. The owners say, we have language in our original agreement that says if there's no fans, we get to renegotiate. The players are saying, no, that language doesn't exist. We don't know as the public what's real and what's not because we don't have the actual language. And myself and Bogish and Mraz have talked about this on the show earlier. We need to see that language. We want to see that language to see, do the owners have a case that we can reopen negotiations if there's no fans in the stands? Because that's a biggie. That's a big meatball. You can't really mess that one up. If you went to the drawing table in March and you said, we might not have fans here, so let's make sure we can revisit this without fans, it's one or the other. I don't know how this is so confusing, but both sides are saying, yes, it is there. The other side saying, no, it's not. But this is not a salary reduction by players. They're just working half their year, and they're getting paid like that. There's no reason that Mike Trout should earn $37 million this year. He's not working for a full 162-game schedule. Yeah, okay, he's got to be in shape. Yes, other baseball players have to be in shape. They're not actually physically working, so don't tell me this is a pay cut. It's not yet. Baseball players don't want any pay cut. That's the problem here. They're saying we don't want to get any pay cut because right now, a shorter work week is not the same thing. There's plenty of you, I'm sure, that work seasonal jobs. Let's say you work a summer job, okay? And let's say you make $5,000 a year per month in this summer job. $5,000 a month during the summer. And your bosses come to you and say, well, you know what, guys? There really hasn't been a summer in May, so you're not working. So your $5,000 a month starts kicking in June, but instead of working May through August on that rate, now it's going to be June through August. That's not necessarily a pay cut. A pay cut would be you show up in June and they say, yeah, you're making $2,000 a month because there's just not enough visitors here anymore because of the pandemic. It's just a prorated portion of your salary. So I don't buy that for the players. I don't like that as their talking point. And I certainly don't think any of this is without fault for the owners as well. But this is so stupid and so ugly and so dumb. And for baseball fans such as myself, it is such a tired act. We went through this in 81. We went through this in 94. We went through this in 02. Every 10 years, there's labor stoppages and labor unrest and both sides sniping. And it sucks and it's tiring and it's stupid. And in this day and age, in this climate, to keep doing this just shows how tone deaf both sides are. It's humiliating for baseball. It's a bad, bad, bad look for Rob Manfred as the commissioner. And you know what? Frankly, they're already losing fans. They are. Because fans who are kind of casual and on the fence about baseball, hearing about all of these labor strife stories, they're already like, ah, you know what? Whatever. I'm into baseball. I'm into basketball anyway. I'm into hockey anyway. You know, they're already losing some credibility amongst fans that may or may not have come back. And they're just going to be like, nah, not interested. You guys suck. Again. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we return, we'll take your feedback on the story that Max Scherzer and the owners are kind of at one another's throats right now. Also, the 100-game proposal that the players have apparently put out there. But I want to talk about Baker Mayfield also coming up here next. Do we believe this is a fresh start for Baker or just more talk out of the Browns organization that can't be believed? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's new on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back 15% credit car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Thanks for being with us, everybody. You can watch us at watchda.com. Also, inside the radio.com app, you can watch us or watch the best of clips, rants, interviews, and best moments ever, every single day on YouTube. Just go to the CBS Sports Radio handle on YouTube, the channel. Just find CBS Sports Radio on YouTube and watch to your heart's content. So Baker Mayfield says that as opposed to last year when maybe the season got away from him and that the Browns were overly confident, this year it's a refocused, more mature Baker Mayfield. Here's the Browns quarterback.
When things do open up again, hopefully soon, we'll take advantage of those opportunities because you only get so many. And this game of football that I've been blessed to play, it doesn't last forever. And so to be able to take advantage of that and, you know, enjoy the moments, I think is going to be good for me.
I think what's going to be good for him is Kevin Stefanski, frankly. I think I hate this phrase now because it's become so cliche, but an adult in the room. I think that Freddie Kitchens was so in over his head. Kitchens had no discipline around that organization. I think the locker room stepped all over him, and Freddie's inexperience led to a team that had never accomplished anything thinking that it was better than it was. I mean, look, their head coach is a pretty good symbol of that. Freddie Kitchens had never been a head coach at any single level, and now suddenly he was thrust into the head coaching role without really deserving that. He had been the play caller for what, like 5 minutes in 2018? So it was very symbolic. Here's a guy that's inexperienced and perhaps undeserving of that role. And here are the Browns undeserving of being called a Super Bowl contender and inexperienced in that role. And the whole thing, both sides, came falling apart. I think Kevin Stefanski, even though he hasn't been an NFL head coach, is a much more even-keeled guy. He's a really smart guy. He's an Ivy League-educated guy, and I think he's really well-respected around the league as a play caller, as an offensive mind, and he just feels to be far more stable than Freddie Kitchens was. And I think the organization will feel and look more accountable than it was under Kitchens, and I think that ends up landing in Baker Mayfield's lap. Look, here's the thing. Mayfield has talent. There's no doubt about that. Mayfield also has a charisma that I like in terms of trying to change a culture if it's been losers for a long time, hey, you know what? We're no longer losers. I won't stand for that. I think you do need guys like that, and Mayfield has that type of swagger. What Mayfield doesn't have is the even-keel nature that if things go badly or somebody says something ridiculous or expectations are overblown, he does not have the ability to fly under the radar. He hasn't had the ability to say, you know what, I'm just going to be a leader here. And even subconsciously, I'm not going to take the bait there. That's not who I am. That's not what I want to do. I look at a guy like Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan in some big spots has been terrible, absolutely terrible. But I know Matt Ryan on last year's Cleveland Browns doesn't make things worse. He doesn't. I mean, he's just not going to take the bait on a lot of that stuff. And Baker did. So for Baker Mayfield, I hope he's more mature. I hope his attitude has changed. I hope he's got better perspective. I think that he can only be helped by Kevin Stefanski. But ultimately, what is Baker Mayfield? I mean, he could be a hothead his entire career and, you know, he'd be fine. He could be like Phillip Rivers, fine, but never win anything big. And if he's Phillip Rivers, that would be an amazing career. You know, that's borderline Hall of Fame, perennial Pro Bowler, and a franchise quarterback for 15 years, and Browns fans would absolutely sign up. You know, that's best case scenario. Worst case scenario is he's a temperamental fool who never quite grows up and, you know, always has this kind of bizarre chip on his shoulder, even when he's absolutely made it. And it's not a productive chip on his shoulder like, say, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady. Instead, it is a distraction, and he can't get out of his own way. So we're talking to start off the show also about Max Scherzer going off on Twitter last night. He is one of the more vocal and significant members of the union, and he's very much anti-owners right now, as you might imagine. And so baseball is in the lurch. And I have been critical of the players. Bogish has been much more supportive, much more pro-players. The one thing I'll say on behalf of the players that I don't like from the owner standpoint here is the owner's trying to sell us that no season will lose less money than a season with TV. That's what the owners apparently are peddling. That's at least what the players are hearing behind the scenes. The owners are saying, hey, if we cancel the season, that's not nearly as bad as if we have the season without TV. So we have to cut salaries. I don't believe that at all. I don't believe there's some huge losses that they're going to incur if they get 60% of their revenue from their massive television contracts. So that part of it is a red herring. I also believe that the owners are trying to divide the union, and the union is barking back. Totally get that. What I have to rail against, though, is the idea that the players are saying we've already taken a pay cut when it's just you're not working, so you're not getting paid. I mean, to me, that's a pretty obvious one. If the players are saying, no, we should be getting paid during pandemic as well for not working, that to me is a ridiculous non-starter. But I want to give Bogish the floor here because I know that he was yelling at me the last segment under his breath and off microphone. So, Bogues, you can make the case here for Max Scherzer's Twitter screed last night.
Well, the things that were quote-unquote bothering me in the first segment is I completely disagree with your take on the pay cut front. Now, maybe we're just arguing semantics in the end, but the players are not paid to begin with based on 162 games, right? They're paid for the season. They're paid for the year. And I don't think that presenting them in line with anyone else in the country is a fair way to go about it in any other direction. They're not seasonal workers. They're not somebody doing a quote-unquote regular job. They're experts. They're specialists. And I think even when we have normal conversations about
I don't mean to poke the bear here. I'm not doing this to disrespect you. So you're saying even if the season does not play one game, you would be in support of every player earning their entire salary?
I would be in support of it, but the problem in general with comparing, what I was starting to say was that we can't do this ever. Like when we're talking about any kind of salary structure in sports, when it's as simple like how much is that quarterback making, we have to get past comparing any of these guys, whether they're athletes or actors. When they have a specialized skill, they can't be us. They're just not. Just like even us sitting here being on the radio, we're not comparing us to a blue-collar worker or vice versa, it's not apples to apples. So I really just in general want to get away from that very simple comparison because it's never going to work because we're not all the same thing.
That's fair, but let's just take a different specialist. I mean, let's just take like a sniper for the FBI or a sniper for the U.S. Army. Let's just say, okay, there's nothing to do this year, and we don't want you on any case, and we're not going to send you anywhere. We just want you to stay at home for 365. You're saying that person should not have their salary docked.
My guess is if there is the roster of Navy SEAL snipers, that those guys get paid the same amount, whether they sit at their house and do nothing or they've been called to Afghanistan or anywhere else 34 times in a year and have, 18 kills. They just get paid to be them. They're not at the mercy of their workload. So, yeah, I would guess that their salary is their salary. It's not based on missions or kills or bullets fired, anything like that. And whether they go on a mission and it's accomplished or not, they get what they're supposed to get. So I'm not sitting here saying that the player should get full salary, but I do think that them agreeing to a prorated salary based on the number of games being played is to me a pay cut. And then therefore, when the owners are coming back here for a second attempt to take money back, I understand where their point is. Now, at some point, they both have to find room for compromise. But what still bothers me in general is the idea that the owners are coming to the table as the good guys, and the players are just wrong here for not saying yes immediately and going and playing baseball. It's not that simple, and it's not a one-way decision here.
Okay, I think that's fair, and I think maybe the sniper parallel is not a good one here because I think that salary, you're right, that job description is kind of already defined by we send you out when we want to send you out. It's not like you're sent out for 162 missions every single year, then suddenly you're sent out for 82 missions. But I do think that it's a weird thing to expect that baseball players, unlike anybody else ever, just get to work half as much as they used to and expect there not to be a pay cut. I mean, of course there's going to be a pay cut.
Right.
Who has ever asked somebody to work half as much but make the same amount of money? Like, that's a totally different alternate universe. So the players using that as we've already conceded, to me, is disingenuous. That's not really a concession.
Yeah, and see, I mean, the problem, too, is that baseball sits here as the most powerful union of all of our pro leagues. So they have the heft to fight this. Now, the NBA, the NHL have had negotiations and they've been relatively quiet, partly because those owners and those leagues dominate those conversations normally anyway. And when the NFL, if push comes to shove for the NFL, I would think NFL owners are going to win because they usually win against NFL players. The baseball union is the union, so they're the ones that really can dig in here. Whether it's right or wrong, they have the strongest footing to put up a fight in this situation. And, I mean, I see it as a pay cut because any one of those guys, whether it's Mike Trout making, if they just do a simple proration, Mike Trout going from $37 million to $16 million or $19 million, whatever that number would be. I mean, that's a pay cut. Because they're not paid per game. They don't get a check as they walk out of the building after playing a game. They don't lose money if they get hurt and they don't play a full season. They don't get money withheld if they don't play in a game for whatever reason. Like that this is what they're supposed to make for 2020. And to say, well, now you're gonna make $19 million or $250,000, like it's a pay cut. It's money that they were supposed to get that they're not getting, whatever the reason. If I'm oversimplifying it, then I'm guilty of that. But they're not getting the money that they were contractually obligated to get.
Well, that's all true. But they're also under no responsibilities to be rehabbing injuries with team doctors. They're under no responsibilities to be at a facility.
Well, because they're not allowed to. Choosing to stay home. They're not allowed to.
No, I agree. But there is no responsibility. They have absolutely no responsibility right now. So,
But that's not true. Their contract requires them to be able to satisfy their contract. So if a guy got to be 300 pounds because he was sitting on his couch being fat during all of this, they could go, well, we're not paying you for that.
Well,
so absolutely under an obligation to keep themselves in shape to play.
Okay, but that's also a complete vagary because there's going to be many of these players that do appear out of shape when we get to spring training. They might not be 300 pounds, but you could argue that 20 pounds overweight is also not satisfying what you would normally do during the regular season. So they're not showing up to any facilities. They're not showing up for any team meetings. They're not showing up to any of the daily responsibilities that they used to have. So for you, I want to know if CBS came to you and said, Bogues, we're only doing the DA show 2 days a week. We're going to give you 40% of your salary. You don't show up the other 3 days. Do whatever you want those 3 days. You're under no responsibility to show up for meetings, to respond to emails. You have no professional responsibilities for the other 3 days a week, but you make 40% of your salary. Or they say, well, would you consider that to be a pay cut? Or would you consider that to be a shortened work week?
But that's not what's going on here. Like, they didn't just decide that, hey, we're going to play 82 games because we don't want to play 162 anymore. Like, they didn't change the dynamic of baseball for forever.
No, but they're
in the
CBS
situation
could
now.
Come to you, CBS could come to you and say, hey, the finances are the finances right now. Advertising's through the tank. And we can only afford to pay you for 2 days a week. Would you consider that a pay cut? Or would you just consider that just prorated?
But here's the problem. I mean, if we're going to use this example, I mean, we all lived through this. And guess what? We have a union that went to bat for us and negotiated all sorts of different agreements depending on who we are and what we did. So, I mean, like, that's – again, and this is exactly where baseball is. Baseball has – owners trying to do this, and baseball has a union that's pushing back. And at some point in your scenario or this one, we all have to make decisions. So, like, in your scenario, coming to me and going, you only have to work 2 days a week, to me is not – I understand that we're cutting baseball games down, but they're not – they're also not free the other 5 days of a week. I don't think that that's an apples-to-apples comparison. But if it was, I'd have to make a decision, right?
Well, what type of responsibilities do you think baseball players have had over the last 3 months?
To be baseball players, to be ready to show back up for work and go about being baseball players whenever the call was made that it was safe to play again.
Well, wait a second.
Their responsibility was to not fall apart physically or to keep themselves like, okay, Noah Syndergaard here in New York, right?
Yeah.
Coming off Tommy John surgery. His responsibility is to rehab at 100% so he's ready to be Noah Syndergaard as soon as possible. Somebody who was injured, Justin Verlander. Aaron Judge, their responsibility right now is to be ready as soon as the Yankees and the Astros are back on the field to play baseball games again. Had Aaron Judge went, you know what, I'm not going to go to rehab now. I'm just going to sit back and let my rib heal at its own pace. He would be doing a disservice to the Yankees. He might be technically in violation of his contract.
But,
I mean, you're laughing, but that's what you're supposed to be doing here.
But if Mike Trout over the last 3 months decided to open up an eBay marketplace and he wanted to make money on the side, he absolutely could do that while still, quote-unquote, being a baseball player. I mean, you're talking about a real skew here. It's not like Mike Trout is spending as many hours today as he does in season working on baseball. There's no way that that's true. So,
well, I mean,
it's just about not being able to physically fall apart. I mean, that's not a really tough bar to clear.
I mean, it is if you're supposed to be Mike Trout.
Well, but you're just talking about being ready to play baseball. It's not that Mike Trout is paid based on performance here.
Now, hold on a second. Now, you guys were mad when NBA players kept saying we don't have a hoop at our house because you want them to go out there and keep playing and be in shape. And you're the one that's up in arms about these guys asking for 3 or 4 weeks of training camp to go play games. But now you're saying they don't need to worry about keeping themselves in shape.
Well, but folks, that's where my bar is. Just have a hoop to shoot a little bit on to make sure that you're not completely a disgrace. But that's my bar. So if Mike Trout shows up and instead of being Mike Trout 50 home runs a season, he is a 30 home run a season guy, I can't argue with that. I can't. I mean, it's impossible.
If Mike Trout shows up out of whack and hits 275 and if you skew all his numbers and he is a drastically lesser player for these 82 games than he was for over 162 when he was like prime Mike Trout, you're just going to go, whatever, he was quarantined.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think you can expect any of these guys to come back and be 100% of what they once were. And again, here is my bar. It's, hey, just, yeah. I mean, you want to make sure that you're not Bartolo Colon at the end of this. But aside from that, what expectations can I possibly have? You're not allowed to go to a facility. You're not allowed to be in contact with the facility. You can't, you obviously don't have the resources to be in batting cages constantly and working with infielders and working with pitching coaches. So, of course, I can't expect you to come out and be 100% of what you were. And, yeah, the prorated portion of your salary is, you're not working right now. Why would you get paid 100% of your salary? I just don't believe that's a concession.
But they don't want 100%. They've already agreed to 50%.
I agree, but they are saying that's our concession. That's our pay cut. We don't want to take another pay cut. That's what they're saying. That's already our pay cut.
Yeah, and I think that is at least a starting point of a concession. I think it's something.
Well, I think your best point here is that these are just negotiations that everybody would have when your bosses come to you and say, we want to do X. And you say, well, we have a union. We want to do Y. And that point I can totally get on board with. I just disagree with you about the definition of how much of their salary is a quote unquote salary cut. But we're up against our time clock right now. And I know that Mraz is chomping at the bit here more than if it was a nacho platter. So I want to get to him eventually on the topic as well. But Bogues, you do have our headlines right now, so let's get to those.
And they'll be quick. They're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Progressive Insurance presents Shower Sessions, half interview, half concert, all from the shower. Watch new music videos and exclusive interviews now at youtube.com/progressive. By the way, the official union counterproposal to that owner's tiered pay cut system expected by tomorrow. They are going to suggest, apparently, baseball players playing over 100 games instead of 82 at guaranteed prorated salaries. Owners, though, don't want to play more than 82, partly because they're afraid that would push the season deeper into the year, which could then jeopardize the playoffs if there is a coronavirus flare-up, which many doctors and researchers think will happen once we get to the fall/winter. NFL owners vote today on rule changes for the coming season. The two proposals involving a sky judge have been withdrawn. Pro Football Talk says the league is worried about unintended consequences of adding this extra official. The league shot itself in the foot with last season's pass interference changes and don't want that to happen again. J.J. Watt says he will not be asking the Texans to redo his deal, even though it seems like a good time to do it. Watt is owed $15.5 million for the coming season, then $17.5 million in 2021, but none of that is guaranteed. And the NBA reportedly has clearance for players outside the U.S. to return to the country and their teams, even if they are coming from places currently under travel restrictions. Guys, back to you.
Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, this date in mothership history, the cavalcade of Mraz hurting himself continues with him dropping a dumbbell on his face. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
In mothership history,
we go way back to year number one on the network. Here's May 2013, 7 years ago, when Mraz dropped a dumbbell on his face. You went to the gym with your sister's boyfriend, who apparently is a gym rat.
I was put in charge today while my sister had worked for a couple hours to entertain the young lad, shall we say.
Okay.
I asked him, I said, hey, you want to go work out? You come to my gym? Because as you know, I like to stay fit.
Yeah, oh yeah.
As you know, by looking at me, I'm a big cardio nut.
Go after the cardio hard to stay in shape. Sure, yeah.
He apparently is not. He likes lifting weights. So I figured, you know what? Maybe you could show me a thing or two. I figured it'd be good for my health. So we went on down to the LA Fitness. I got him in. We went to the back weight room. He's showing me stuff. I'm trying to overly impress him, and I'm not impressing anybody. Let's be honest. We get to some kind of fly bicep technique he's trying to show me. I don't even remember because I was knocked senseless after it. And he starts off with like the 50 pounds on each arm, and I knew there was no way that was happening.
Yeah.
So I went to the 25.
Okay.
I put it up about 8 times, no problem. I got to, I think, my 9th time. And when
25 pounds is not a lot of weight to be lifting.
It felt like I was carrying a house.
Okay.
So I put up the 9th time. I twist my arm for some kind of motion he was showing me how to do. And my arm basically collapsed, and there was no reaction time. This dumbbell came flying out of my arm and just drilled me right in the noggin. Oh. My initial reaction was, I think I screamed something like, oh my God, or ow. It was something really bad. There was a personal trainer helping somebody right to the right of us. He gets right on his little walkie-talkie he has. The gym's not that big. Calls to the front desk And out of nowhere, I see people frantically running over, and I hear over the loudspeaker, we need a medic to the back.
Right.
So they have the LA Fitness medic, I mean, who's basically a guy with a Band-Aid pouch, comes running over. They're putting ice on my face. I was so embarrassed. I really wanted to cry, but I couldn't do anything about it. Now, I don't know how I'm going to show my face in there going forward. Everybody's going to know I'm the dumbbell guy.
7 years ago, we were learning that Mraz has been a klutz for a long time. He actually is pretty coordinator for a big man. I've seen him on the field. I've seen him play front yard, street side hoops at the block party against somebody 10 years younger. You know, Mraz can move around, but he smashes finger in a door, he smashes elbow on the desk, and threw a dumbbell into his own face. So a tough run there. You remember that day when you smashed your face?
I do. That
your
was
face?
Four boyfriends ago for my sister. I absolutely remember that. It was brutal. And actually, there's a follow-up to the klutz dumbbell story. It was about 3 years later that I would end up dropping a dumbbell on my toe and fracturing my big toe and having to limp out. And, yeah, I had a full-blown broken toe. And I was in a boot for about a month, if you remember.
Oh.
So I come to work in a boot.
That's right. Wow, so you really have a hit list. You are like Greg Oden.
There's a lot. They're never like the major ACL surgery. It's always a nick here and nick there that ends up being like something you probably could have toughed out, but I end up getting the X-ray and then in an obnoxious boot for no reason. So it has been a long road to hoe for injuries for me.
So essentially, you're kind of like the player that could play through it, but want the team doctor to always do the X-ray, the MRI, take a day off.
There's no question. I'm the guy in the NBA that misses the big shot and then just starts grabbing my calf. That's the move I go with. Ooh, something's tight there. Can't blame me. Something's tight in the calf.
Now, what's going to really hurt you is taking this last year off because of the baby away from flag football, because when you finally do come back to the field, everything is at risk of being pulled.
I agree with that, and as I mentioned previously, it's already been decided by some people, not me, because I'm supposed to be the general manager, that I will be moving off a pass-catching role and into the center's role on the offensive line. So I think they're trying to protect against me. Obviously, I still have the hands to run down the field and pull hamstrings. They're just trying to, you know, keep me healthy by having me play center, I think.
So there has been a coup where you are the GM of the Young Guns, and they have overthrown you and pushed you into a different position.
I believe the quote was, the game has changed.
Wow.
It's more of a spread offense league now than it was back in like 2007, and that we have become an antiquated offense by having me be the slow the sticks guy on third down. And instead, you know, kick me inside, I can snap, I can do all that, but we need to really spread the field with four wide, some speed guys.
Wow, so you basically... You got the Don Shula treatment at the end of his Dolphins run.
I did. Look, I can still play the game at a high level. I know that. I understand the game has changed, and I understand that I'm not thin and running down the field streaking like a CeeDee Lamb. I get that. But, you know, I would have thought, why don't we evolutionize the game back with the slow tight end? That would be my way, right? You know, show that we should bring that kind of game back.
Yeah, so you want to be John Gruden. Want to bring it back to the 90s.
Yeah, ground and pound. I think that, look, it's a you know, copycat league. So if they see the big, bald tight end with the bad goatee running down the field at no wind burst whatsoever, other teams might follow suit and say, we need that kind of playmaker.
What really hurts you is the media attention on Bob's Bar 2, which is now your bar in your backyard.
Yes.
There's a lot of attention right now on you kicking your feet up every day.
Yeah.
Certainly every weekend, and just drinking and eating until your heart's desire.
Yeah, I mean, there was definitely some talk of why have I drank at least one alcohol drink 45 of the last 48 days. That has come up.
Goodness.
I have now switched, obviously, to lighter seltzers a lot during the week because I don't want to weigh down with beer every day. So, yeah, for sure. And I am officially 11 pounds heavier than when I left the studio. So
Wow!
Look, the gyms ain't open, DA. I don't know what to tell you. We're working in reverse here. We're now 111 pounds away from the weight total of losing.
Whoa, but haven't you been running? What would have happened if you were not running?
Oh, I'd be up 40. Easily.
It's up 40.
DA, I'm having a bag of chips a day. It's not good here.
Up 40. It's like the Lakers in the fourth quarter over the Timberwolves. Yeah, you know, it's just up 40.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.